This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We got cowboys. We got truckers.
It's the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Tommy Wirtz in for Mitch Thunder Nellis. Mason Crosby still here. Country Monday's back.
Thank you.
Yep, I can work this to where I know that YouTube's not hearing it, but I don't want to stress out Mitch. He's already got his own deal. He's got Thunder at the Fair from 11 to 2.
Don't stress him out. We got to stay consistent.
Just want to remove the stress from Mitch's life always. Smart. That's my job. Joining the Mason Crosby Show now, you can find him on Twitter at Book of Eli underscore NFL, Packer Report, and 24/7 Sports. It is Eli Berkovich joining the Mason Crosby Show, friend of the station. Eli, how are we doing today, my friend?
I'm doing good. Really appreciate the invite. Honor, Mason, to get to talk some Packers football with you. Obviously a big fan of everything you've done for the Packers in Green Bay, so excited to be here.
Awesome, Eli. Yeah, appreciate you jumping on. You had sent me a post on X and a DM and just said, like, hey, anytime. So really appreciate you jumping on. And since ball has started, we are here. The Hall of Fame game happened, so we will have football now until February. The Packers had family night over the weekend. I was following along, watching some of the highlights, seeing some different things. Were you at the game? And just kind of, yeah, give us your initial thoughts, and then we'll dive a little bit deeper of what you thought about family night on Saturday night.
Yeah, so I did not get to attend this year. I wish I could have. It looked like quite the event, as it does every year. But I did watch the whole thing. It was great that Packers.com streamed it this year. That was very helpful. And I thought, I thought they looked pretty smooth. Obviously, there was a little bit of, some rough stretches that maybe offensively. But I thought Jordan Love looked, most importantly, very healthy. He was moving around. He had that big, long run at some point. It was like an 18-yard run. It was very nice to see that. I thought Matthew Golden made a couple flashes. I love to see Lucas Van Ness coming up with a big sack. I thought it was fun for everyone to get to see. And then, you got to mention Omar Brown, the safety, with 3 interceptions in one night. That was incredible. So a really fun night. Always family night's a great time. But I thought the team looked pretty good out there as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, you always like whenever you have a guy that is just so hungry to make a team. And they come out and they're just making plays. And you just can't wait to see what he does once we get into these preseason games. Once he's going against the Jets, once he's going against the Colts. Like, you got to see some of that cross play happening. But obviously, he's just been impactful throughout camp here. And I think he's leading the team in interceptions with 5. So just doing a great job. I do want to dive to, and I love offense, defensive linemen. Like, those are my guys. Like, the big bodies, they always protect me on field goals, so I'm always in their corner. So we got to talk about, like, the Jordan Morgan, Van Ness kind of battle, what you saw there. I know Rashid Walker's not playing because I think he's hurt. He's got a little injury he's dealing with, but it looked like Van Ness was getting the best of Jordan Morgan in a lot of times in the team stuff in that family night. What did you think about that matchup and kind of where both those players are at this moment?
Yeah, I think definitely Lucas Van Ness probably got, at the end of the night, the better of Jordan Morgan. And, obviously it's like a little bit mixed because you want to see both players do well, but you kind of need one to do better than the other. It's just the way it works. And I think most Packer fans right now will take a better Lucas Van Ness and a better Jordan Morgan.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I think between, Lucas Van Ness being a top 15 pick and also being in his third year versus Morgan only in his second year, obviously we don't project Morgan to be the starter day one anyway, or week one, I should say. So I was really excited to see Lucas Van Ness kind of get the better of him. That doesn't make me overly concerned about Morgan. I think Morgan is still going to grow into the player that he could become, and hopefully that does become a good, solid left tackle in the NFL. But we need to see Lucas Van Ness step up this year. I think that's just the way it is. It's his third year. The first couple years have not necessarily lived up to that draft capital, but all the reports out of camp is that he is looking really good right now. And obviously just his physical buildup. I mean, the guy is everything you want size-wise and ability at the edge. It was just putting it together and making the plays and finishing plays. So if he can become, you know, even a 7-8 sack guy a year for the Packers at this point, I think fans would take it. I think the team would take it. And I think opposite Rashawn Gary, it would make a very big impact.
For sure. Yeah, we got Eli Berkovitz from Packer Report and 24/7 Sports. Joining the Mason Crosby Show. So I totally agree with you. And I said this early on with like Rashawn Gary, whenever he first, you know, came onto the team. And I remember talking to some of the linemen, and it's just like, all right, what do y'all think about Rashawn? It's like, he's tough to deal with, but he only at the moment had like kind of one move. It was like, yeah, bull rush, and then try to just, you know, try to swipe off of them. And I think that's maybe where Van Ness, and I heard Halfley talking about it, like getting more tools in his tool bag, where it looked like he was using that strong arm, and then it's like, what do you do off of that? You can't just, yeah, you can't just bull rush in the NFL. Like, it's not going to happen. Yeah. These guys are too good. So, yeah, I think if he gets more tools in his tool bag, and I think you hit it right on the head, like, Van Ness is going to be a difference maker if he can really, you know, just kind of find his groove here and get that thing going. So I also want to talk about another position group that we haven't talked a ton about, and it's like, we all know about Tucker Kraft and what he's done and what he's about, but, you know, the other guy, Musgrave, and I know, like, you know, that I've seen stuff from camp with him, you know, kind of being more of a blocking tight end. He's, you know, a little bit more big, like a little bigger and more physical. What have you seen from him and maybe some of the other tight ends, you know, stepping up in camp so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been one of Luke Musgrave's biggest fans since we drafted him. He was nice. Someone I loved going into that draft. I think he's an incredibly dynamic pass catcher. Obviously, there's, you know, kind of the running joke of what he does after the catch, right? Sometimes has a bit of a struggle staying up on his feet. But I think, you know, let's be real, his first 2 years, he was barely on the field. He was dealing with injuries, some yeah. weird injuries. And it's just like, if we could get him on the field consistently, I still think there's a lot that we can do with Luke Musgrave, especially when you have a guy like Tucker Kraft, who is going to be your tight end one. So you go out in 12 personnel with both of those guys, you really stress the inside of a defense, the linebackers, the safeties, to cover both of those guys. It's not going to be easy at all. And I think even with all the receivers that we have, which is a lot, I think we still should be running a lot of 12 personnel, get both Kraft and Musgrave involved. I think Kraft obviously a little better after the catch, but I think Musgrave has some more better vertical speed. He's obviously a little bit taller. So I really want to see them get Musgrave involved in the offense because, I mean, coming out, I thought he was like your prototypical receiving tight end. Like, could he do some inline blocking? Sure. But I think he's really the guy you want running down the seam, using his big frame and long arms, making catches. So I really hope we could tap into some of that this year.
So maybe what I was seeing is they're trying to get him maybe a little bit better in the blocking situation so they can put him even in that fullback position, which they love to do. LaFleur, since he's gotten there, he loves putting those tight ends there. Because think about it, I mean, you get them out into the flats. Like, if you're, you know, you end up throwing the ball, you have an extra, you know, set of great hands there and can do some really dangerous things. Because Tucker Kraft and Musgrave, I mean, Musgrave can play standing up in kind of more of a, you know, a flex, you know, spot as well, just with his skill set. And so if you get those two going, I mean, you almost have like Travis Kelce type and Musgrave, and then the Kittle type with Kraft. Yeah. Like, when I look at Kraft, like, he is on his way to trying to be more like a George Kittle with his physicality, sure, the way he finishes plays and all of that. So yeah, I love that, and I love those thoughts. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, linebacker feeling pretty good. Is Quay back? Is he coming back off of the NFI list or anything like that? Or like, where's he at right now, Quay Walker?
Yeah, so he returned to practice the middle of last week. I think he was mostly doing individual drills on the side. I don't think he got involved in team drills yet, but I did see him last night dressed. I don't know if he was really taking part in the team drills yet, but I do think he is pretty much back. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe not the first preseason game, but maybe we see him play a little bit in the second preseason game. And yeah, that whole inside linebacker group was already exciting, but I think the addition of Isaiah Simmons really makes it exciting, because it's like, if they can figure out, you know, there's a reason he went number 8 overall in the NFL draft. He's incredibly athletic. He is so fast. I was at the first day of training camp, and they had a toss play outside to Emmanuel Wilson, and it looked like it was going to go for maybe 5-6 yards, and Isaiah Simmons, like, teleported from the inside of the defense to the edge, totally blew up the play. It was a loss of 2 or 3 yards. He is so good at that kind of stuff, and I think his issue in his previous stops was they wanted him to do too much. It was play linebacker, play safety, play edge, do everything. And it's like, okay, that's great that maybe he did that in college, but in the NFL, it's a different game. Let's just let him focus in on linebacker, which is exactly what Jeff Hafley is doing. And maybe he won't live up to being a top 10 pick. But if he could end up being a, you know, a third, fourth round caliber player, a, you know, the third linebacker on this team, someone they could put in reliably on passing downs, that's more than, you know, we could expect. We gave him a 1 year, pretty cheap deal. So anything we get out of him would be great. And I do think we're on the right path of kind of resurrecting Isaiah Simmons' career.
Yeah, and we can't forget what he does on special teams as well. I mean, I've seen him, you know, he covering kicks, covering punts. Whenever I had a, you know, a few games there in New York, he was just, I mean, he was everything on their special teams. He did it all. He can block punts. He can do, you know, he can rush off the edge on field goals. So I know, Bisacci has to be really pumped to have him on the squad as well. We got Eli Berkovitz, Packer Report, 24/7 Sports, joining the Mason Crosby Show. So one more question on, like, Quay and, like, some contract stuff. So, like, you know, there's after this season, I know we're early, we haven't even gone through the year, but it's like, with them not picking up his fifth-year option, do you feel like they want to just kind of see where he's at and, like, he's going to be a guy and a priority to re-sign and actually get, you know, signed to a long-term deal? Or is this just kind of a wait-and-see moment where they might just be willing to move on, you know, with a guy like, you know, maybe if Isaiah Simmons steps up and you have Cooper there, you know, playing well, you sign Isaiah McDuffie to a team-friendly type of deal. Like, what do you think Quay Walker's future is with this team?
It's tough because, I mean, with the fifth-year option, I don't think anyone expected them to, only because the way linebackers are paid, if you gave him the fifth-year option, he would basically immediately be like a top-five paid linebacker in the league, which would be, maybe be a bit much. But everything that Goody is saying makes it sound like he is a priority for them, and they do want him around for the long term. I just think that they want to give him, you know, the Packers, right? They're always trying to find team-friendly deals. So I do think they're going to probably let him play out this year on his contract. And, you know, assuming he gets through the year healthy and plays to the level he's been playing, obviously it'd be great if he could elevate his game even a little bit more. But I have a feeling like unless this season kind of goes disastrously or Isaiah Simmons totally blows up and is incredible, I feel like they are going to try to do their best to re-sign Quay Walker at the end of the season. And who knows, you know, if Simmons has a good year, maybe they could get him back on another team-friendly deal as well, because Cooper, Quay, and Simmons as an interior of your defense is, I mean, as athletic and fast and exciting, I think, as you're going to get from three inside linebackers.
I love it. I love it. So I've been seeing reports, you know, and you know, where they're ranking NFC quarterbacks, right? And I've seen some of those lists with Jordan Love as that that top quarterback on some guys' lists. Where would you rank Jordan Love kind of in before the season starts? Like where he's at from his first 2 years as the guy? Like where would you put Jordan Love on, you know, kind of a top five quarterback list? It, just in the NFC. Let's just stay on you know in one conference.
Yeah, so going into last year, I took a lot of heat because I had Jordan Love as my top quarterback in the NFC, and I didn't have that as a bias or as a Packer fan. It's just, let's be real, a lot of the most elite quarterbacks in the NFL are in the AFC right now. Yeah. Not that there aren't elite quarterbacks in the NFC, including Jordan Love, but, you know, the Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jacksons of the world are in the AFC. But looking at the NFC, I mean, you know, I think it was Mike Tannenbaum who was just saying the other day on ESPN, like, if you're starting a franchise today, which NFC quarterback would you want? And it's hard not to say Jordan Love. I mean, you could maybe make the argument Jada Daniels. He had such an incredible rookie season. My only concern with a guy like Daniels is, you know, a running quarterback like that, not that he can't throw, but, you know, you take one lower body injury, does that running start to fade away? Do you have to fully rely on your passing? And then how does that look?
Yeah.
But Jordan Love obviously is more of a passer, but he still has the ability to run. I think Jalen Hurts is obviously a very good quarterback, but I think as just a pure passer, I would take Jordan Love over Jalen Hurts. And then let's be real. I mean, I don't think there's really anyone else in the NFC that I would consider over Love. I mean, Dak Prescott's had some good seasons, but I mean, Dak Prescott, you know, we all know what happens in the playoffs with Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. So I really would take Jordan Love. If someone said they want to take Jaden Daniels, I wouldn't fight them. But as someone who has watched every snap of Jordan Love's career, I think he is as talented as it gets. Last year, he was so marred by injury. It was very hard to evaluate really anything from last year. But in his healthy games, you saw what he can do. Obviously, the end of the 2023 season, you saw what he could do. So in the NFC, I think it's very hard to find a quarterback I'd rather have right now than Jordan Love.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, when you think about it, and I said this last week, I believe, the fact that he got to sit behind Aaron Rodgers, right? And he got to learn all of Aaron Rodgers' tricks and all of the stuff, you know, like getting guys to jump off sides, like the cadences, all of those things, and just how to play the game like Aaron. But Jordan does still have in him maybe a little Brett Favre, right? I think he could literally be the combination of those two franchise quarterbacks that the Packers have had over the last 40 years, you know, where he is willing to take a few more risks than Aaron was. Like, Aaron took calculated risks and, you know, he would throw many interceptions. But, you know, it's like when I was watching some highlights of Favre, and it's like some of the throws he would make, you're just like, what was he doing? But he would do that, and then he'd make the, you know, the most amazing throw ever. And I think Jordan has some of that in him, where he wants to just – he wants to take some chances. He wants to stretch it downfield. He's willing to throw into some spots that Aaron might have been a little more reluctant to do. So I totally agree with you. I think it's great. I always – you know, I never sleep on, like, a Matthew Stafford, though, and I feel like we kind of forget about him, and he just got, you know, he just got Devontae Adams added to his, you know, his list of weapons there as well. So I feel like they always sleep on him. I know everyone wants to elevate Jared Goff, but I'm like, he's good in the system. Like he's been good with the Detroit Lions with what they're trying to build there. And I don't think anyone's putting Caleb Williams on that list. So I don't know if you saw that over the weekend. What do you think about this Bears team and where they're headed? And I love that the Packers control the Bears even from like their family night practices, where it's like we sell out our stadium and they can barely, you know, fill the lower bowl whenever they have something like that.
Yeah, as a Chicago native, I gotta say the feeling around Chicago throughout this training camp has been pretty bleak, and for me, I mean, that's as good as it gets. I mean, I'm sure you're referencing that clip of Caleb Williams struggling to hit the net, forget getting it in the net, but just hitting the entire net in general at training camp the other day, which I think many Packer fans found a lot of delight in watching. And yeah, look, obviously there's a lot of excitement around the Bears. You have Ben Johnson, you added some more weapons, you built the offensive line. And yeah, there is potential there, but at the end of the day, in the NFL now, I kind of feel like your team goes as your quarterback goes. And right now, it seems like Caleb Williams is still struggling a lot to get that Ben Johnson offense, to take that next step in his career. You know, a lot of just the processing stuff, the footwork. So we're going to see how it goes throughout this year. But right now, I mean, I think the Bears are probably destined for another fourth place finish in the NFC North.
I like that. That's what I was hoping you would say, Eli. Yeah. We got Eli Berkovitz at 24/7 Sports, the Packer Report. Just crushing it with all things Green Bay Packers on the Mason Crosby Show. So let's go to that real quick before we let you go. Pressure on these coaches. So, you know, obviously you mentioned Ben Johnson going there to Chicago. Just in the NFC North, who do you think has the most pressure from a coaching perspective to have a good season this year? I don't think Ben Johnson has pressure for a good season, but I do think there's pressure to, like, show that you are the guru that everyone says you are, right? So if their offense struggles, it's kind of like, where does that lie? Where does that fall? So just kind of run down your list of the four coaching head coaches and coaching staffs, like kind of where the pressure lies.
Yeah, I mean, I do think no doubt there will be some pressure on Ben Johnson. You know, I don't think anyone's going to be like, this team needs to go and win a bunch of playoff games. But if it's a complete disaster like it was last year, it's definitely going to, you know, bring some questions to Ben Johnson and his offense. And, you know, was it Jared Goff running it really well there? Was it Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown being so good in Detroit? But I got to be honest, you know, I think the pressure really probably has to be the most on Matt LaFleur, because looking at Minnesota, they have a new quarterback in J.J. McCarthy. I don't think anyone would fault them for having a middle-ish kind of season. The Lions, you know, I don't think there's as much pressure because they've been as good as they've been. You know, I do think if they fall apart, people will question Dan Campbell and wonder how much was it Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn that really drove that team's success. But at the end of the day, the Packers are obviously a Super Bowl or bust team, as it always is. Matt LaFleur is going into his seventh year as the coach now. Last year, obviously, kind of fizzled out at the end of the year. We know how it went against the rest of the NFC North, going 1-5, which is pretty unacceptable. So I do think there probably is the most pressure on Matt LaFleur. And I think we also have to think about the fact that Ed Policy, you know, didn't immediately go and extend LaFleur's contract as he reaches, not this isn't his final year, but his second to final year. And usually the Packers like to have their coaches signed for more than just 2 years at a time. So I do think it's on LaFleur. I think, you know, to show that last year was really more about Jordan Love's injury and the fact that things did not, you know, finish maybe the way we wanted. So I do think it will be very important for us this year to win 10 games again, and really most importantly, play better in the NFC North. Cannot go 1-5 in the NFC North, and hopefully at least win a couple playoff games and just show that we're still on that upward trajectory that we saw 2 years ago.
Awesome. Eli Berkovitz, he is, you can find him at BookofEli_NFL on X. He has the Packer Report, and he's at 24/7 Sports. Really appreciate you, Eli. Look forward to having you on again. And just, we are in football season now. It's rolling, and I cannot wait for all of the fun stuff that is on the horizon. So I appreciate you, Eli. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, buddy.
There he is, Eli Berkovitz, joining the Mason Crosby Show. A lot of good stuff there, Mace. And interesting at the end with everything going down in the NFC North, still thinking Matt LaFleur, most pressure heading into 2025.
And honestly, I kind of agree with him, because it is like Dan Campbell lost his coordinators. So they're like, yeah, if they struggle.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, this year, you know, maybe aren't just as dominant. You just say like, okay, they're figuring it out. Like, it's all right. You know, the O'Connell stuff, it's, you know, they have a new quarterback and like, they should be a good team, but it's like, all right, you're trying to figure it out with JJ McCarthy. And then the Bears are the Bears. And it's like, Ben Johnson has pressure just because it's like, he has had success as a great offensive mind and coach. But it's also like, if they overachieve, everyone's just excited, or like, they're just like, wow, that's great. If they don't play well, it's like, all right, give them a couple years. So I totally agree. I think this Packers team has what it takes. And if they don't get it done, if they don't play better in the North, then it is, there are some question marks, like what's going on over there, because that is kind of the measuring stick.
We'll keep the conversation going one more segment here. Drew Wagner going to join the show at 10 a.m. We'll talk some more Brewers heading up here on the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.